Welcome to the Super Speedway.
Oh yeah, brother. Oh yeah, I told you I was all lining up. I felt bad for him. Good job, man. You killed him. Love ya.
Great job, guys. Thank you, man. Great freaking car, Dean. Thank you. Awesome job, guys. Awesome. Four, baby. Hell yeah.
Welcome to episode 283 of the Super Speedway Podcast, recorded Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. I'm your host, Eric Young, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, James Cush. James, how's it going?
It's good, man. We survived the tornado warning over in my area. Hopefully it doesn't spread to your area.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was happening, so.
Yeah, sirens are going off. I'm like, do I have to delay the podcast because I'm hiding in the basement? What's going on over here? No, we're good, man. It's... We've
delayed the podcast for a tornado warning before at your house, actually.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? I forgot about that. At the kitchen table, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was the one time I recorded the pod on my back porch, and there were bats flying over my head towards the end of the episode, and I said, we got to get out of here. This is too much.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Eric, I was going to ask you off the top.
Yes.
You went racing again this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to know how it went.
I was all over the place this week. So I went to 3 short tracks in 8 days.
That's awesome.
Around Michigan. So I already talked about Birch Run Speedway last weekend. But, yeah, I went Wednesday night out to the Money in the Bank for the first time ever. I've been wanting to go to it for years. Got to do the Battle of Berlin at Berlin Raceway last year. But this year got to do the Money in the Bank. And I got to see Eric Jones get the win there, which was pretty cool. Yep. First, it was his first win in his own late model that he owned. So that was pretty neat. Also his home track. First time he's won the Money in the Bank. He's won the Battle at Berlin twice, but he'd never won the Money in the Bank before. So, plus it was the anniversary of his dad's death. So just all around, good vibes from the win for him. So that was pretty cool.
And you didn't get him on the podcast.
No, I know. Right. I didn't get the pit pass. I didn't get credentials. I should have done it, but, and then, yeah, I went Saturday night down to Owosso Speedway, first time ever out there, and got to see the CRA Jegs late models once again, the All-Star Tour, which put on a great show, 100 laps out there. They're doing 184 laps later this season, and Owosso Speedway, man, they've got some good stuff going on there, and fresh asphalt, and it was racy. They were 3 wide. They were bumping off of each other, and It was good stuff. Good stuff out there.
So. Great racetrack. Great racetrack.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it's out in the middle of nowhere. You pretty much drive and all of a sudden it's like, oh, there's a racetrack right there.
That's the way all racetracks are in Michigan. I don't know.
That's true. Well, I mean, Birch Run's not quite like that. I mean, that's kind of close to the city center.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. I went through, I was in your old stomping grounds this weekend and went by Whittemore Speedway. And
yeah.
I'm like, you're all of a sudden, you're in this little dinky town. And all of a sudden, hey, oh yeah.
Yeah.
There's a racetrack just right in the smack dab middle of it. So, yep, good stuff, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'm going to hit a couple more CRA races this year and trying to debate. Might go back to Berlin this weekend. I might go back to Owosso this weekend. They got super late models in Owosso. They got the Arca Menard series down at Berlin. But the weather looks iffy for Saturday. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. But
we didn't have rain for 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's about time it started hitting. But, so my question about Owosso, cause I had only been there when I was a kid, is the banking as big as I remember it or was it fairly normal?
I mean, it's good banking for a local racetrack.
I remember it being massive when I was a kid, but that's, you know, your little kid brain,
right?
Things are always 12 times
bigger. I mean, if you compare it to like what Tri-City used to be banked, yeah, it's massive. It's similar to what Birch Run has, similar to what Berlin has. It's pretty standard for a short track, but
I couldn't remember how they had it laid out. And I know they repaved and put a wall up in the back. So
they're going to have saber barriers later. It's going to be, it's still pretty one groove because it's new asphalt, but once that second groove comes in, that place is going to be racy. And it was, like I said, it was pretty good with the CRAs. They were able to move. They were able to make passes. Probably the most fun about it was, so the first CRA race that I went to this year out at Birch Run, Chase Berto won. And he was racing in this one as well. And I just happened to be sitting in the stands right where some of his friends and family sat. And I was already, you know, kind of curious how he was going to do because he was at Berlin as well. And just so I kind of followed along with him. And because they were right there, I put him on the scanner as my priority so it would jump over to his channel. And on the green flag, right on the start, he ran in the back of somebody and bent the hood up. And the 85 laps of the race, his spotter basically drove the car for him because he couldn't
see. Oh, my gosh.
He wanted to pit, but they wouldn't let him pit because they were worried about losing track position. Well, then he spun with 25 to go or 15 to go or whatever. I think it was 16 to go at the end. Spun, so they pitted him, fixed the hood, and then he came through the field. I think he finished sixth at the end, but
that's cool.
I thought if he could have seen the whole race, he would have won it, but it was really neat to see, and it was fun to have the family right there. So
yeah, oh, that's cool.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, good local short track racing, man. It's seems to be alive and well lately, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of cool to do this instead of the NASCAR stuff this year. You know, I'm still doing Atlanta and Michigan, but yeah, it's been kind of cool to hit these tracks, and I don't know, looking at some opportunities to maybe do some media stuff at these and stuff too, because they're really undercovered. Obviously, Matt Weaver with his short track scene was out at Berlin for the.
Yes, I saw that too. Yeah, your old coworker.
Yeah, my former coworker, if you want to call it that. but he's all over the place. But of course, he's not getting out to the little CRA shows and stuff like that. So, you know. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's other podcast opportunities. Maybe there's a chance to add on to this podcast or do something different, or I don't know. But
yep.
But those guys need to be covered, and we don't have all those, you know, magazines, local magazines that used to go around every week for all the short tracks anymore. So,
yep.
But anyway, yeah, it was a good time. Good fun to get out there. Good weather. I mean, it was spectacular. All three races. So,
since
Berlin, man, they just, that track, they just know what they're doing down there. That place is amazing.
Yeah. Well, and I figured since the cup race was kind of a stink show with, Martin Truex Jr., I figured, well, let's start with,
yeah, I mean,
I'd ask you how your endeavors have been. So
yeah, I'm good not enough, real anxious to get I into say. this cup discussion, because what the hell are we going to talk about, James?
Well, I mean, it was a race in Sonoma, which I always enjoy, but yeah. it was a domination.
You know what we need,
like Martin tends to do.
You know what we need, damn it.
We need
stage cautions. That's what we need. These people
who want to notes thinking of you.
These people who want to get rid of stage cautions. No, I'm kidding, because actually I think the fact that we didn't have stage cautions is the only thing that made this race interesting. Because at least there was some strategy around the cautions.
Yes.
But thank God that NASCAR threw a caution for that freaking tire on pit road. Because God,
oh my gosh,
they wouldn't have been a caution.
Denny helped us out. Yeah, Denny helped us out too. There late, so. Yeah, this was just, I mean, Martin.
It was a Martin Truex win, James.
Yeah, that's been the running gag, I guess, this week. It's just when Martin does this, he does it big, and he kicked butt. Now, he didn't win all the stages. I mean, Denny won the first one, and Kyle was in the mix. He just didn't have quite enough.
Yeah, he wasn't as good as Truex.
But there was some strategy going on, and Martin just kind of figured his way around it every single time.
If Truex could have beaten himself at the end like Larson did the day before, Kyle could have won that race. But that was the only way it was happening. Truex had to screw up, and he just made no mistakes.
Well, that was just a great. I mean, as good as Truex was, that was a great run for Kyle too.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, you know, being the second best on a day like that is you know, I mean, he was clearly the second best. It was just one guy was so dang good. Not much you can do, and like I said too, there was you know, pit strategy, and guys were trying to, you know, gamble a little bit on tires and this and that, and Chase Elliott was up there for a minute, but you just couldn't stop him. You know, he was coming no matter what.
Yeah,
just kind of broke his way all day.
You know, I played the audio at the beginning of Truex's celebration, if you want to call that, as he crossed the line, and that was about as exciting as his win. I mean, that's Truex.
Yeah. And I, you know, the only other thing I was going to talk about with this too is, you know, it's strange to me to see the Hendrick cars not performing as well as they have in the past. Like Gibbs has caught them a little bit.
I thought this race was weird, but I thinking back afterwards, not so much, because you know, the guys that you would normally, because I did terrible on fantasy this week, and it was because I picked all those guys that are usually good on road courses.
Yeah.
But this is not your traditional road course to where you'd pick the Tyler Reddicks and, you know, those guys.
I had Tyler Reddick and was doing great.
Well, so did I. And you know, and I mean, I had Daniel Suarez. I had these guys that just ended up, you know, crap in the bed a little bit on, in this race. And like you said, the Hendrick guys, Hendrick has not, I mean, they win here and, or they're terrible. There's no in between for them at this track.
Yeah. Like you think about Kyle Larson.
Well, Larson's been horrible here.
Well, it's weird because he had a good day. He had an eighth place finish, but 29 points total. Like he didn't hardly score any stage points. So actually he didn't score any stage points at all. I'm looking at the results here. So, you know, that's just show goes to show you he was never really a factor. And, you know, Chase Elliott, like I said, he led a couple of laps, but that's not the Chase Elliott we're used to seeing. And that, and that's it. I mean, the Hendrick guys were, you know, in France.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
We'll talk about that in a little bit.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know. It just, this, I don't know.
And what the heck happened to the Penske guys? I mean, they were terrible. And Blaney kept getting, I mean, Blaney had the worst lap of the day.
Right.
Getting dumped twice. And then, you know, you think Austin Cindric, because I almost had him in my lineup, and he was nowhere to be found all day either. Yeah. I mean, I know Joey got up there late, but...
See, I'm cold on Cindric right now. Like,
he's in a sophomore slump,
for sure. I have the season plotted out for picks, for our picks thing, and we've got, what, 3 road courses left before the playoffs?
Yeah.
And I don't have Cindric picked at all.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I was going to plan to use him for one of the road courses, and now I'm iffy on it as well.
Yeah.
And the Penske guys were just terrible. They were just absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Blaney, I mean, good Lord. I there was an interview. He did an interview after the, well, he didn't do an interview. He was walking. and that was as grumpy as I've seen Ryan Blaney.
Yeah.
But he got completely wiped out twice.
So yeah. The first dump was pretty bad. The second one just was icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Both in the same lap. That's a lot to ask.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, the only other, I guess, action item of this race was the Denny Hamlin crash, and that was just driver error.
Yeah.
Action's detrimental as he came into the start finish line.
Yeah, that was just a screw up, and it's funny that doesn't happen more often, because if you're tucked up behind somebody and try to turn low, you're going to hit that wall there, but we very rarely see accidents in that section of the track.
Well, when Fox cut to the action there at the end, I looked at the place at where he was on the track, and I was like, oh, he got dumped by somebody.
Yeah.
No, not at all. He said on his podcast, he took himself out.
Yep.
Which, you know, a driver like Denny Hamlin is very shocking. That was one of the most weird, that was just a weird crash all the way around.
Yeah,
Denny Hamlin doesn't do that. He doesn't make that kind of mistake.
Well, Denny Hamlin doesn't make that kind of mistake. We saw very few mistakes in this race, period. It just all around was odd.
Well, this car, Eric, I mean, maybe that's the next question, too. It's this car.
I don't know, though, James, because they asked they asked Kyle Busch about that on pit road. And Kyle said it's the car's easier to drive a little bit. But he said, you know, just sometimes they don't run over each other. Sometimes they're smart and they don't run over each other.
Well, you know? Yeah, I mean, there was instances where guys ran over each other. I just wonder how, you know, and again, I'm not smart enough to even make this comment, but the way that these cars can brake and travel through the corners, they carry so much speed. It's the short track problem as well.
Yeah, it is. I disagree with Kyle. I do think it's a car
issue.
They're
just, we've talked about
even
stability.
Let's think back to when did we really see a great Sonoma race last time? Like all the way through, there's great moments. I mean, obviously the Tony Stewart win was a great ending. And around that time, all the road courses were spectacular. But really, if you think back to why we really started liking road courses, it was Watkins Glen races, not Sonoma races. Sonoma,
and there was a lot of slamming and banging.
Since they cleaned Sonoma up and made it easier for Cup drivers, it really has not produced a lot of craziness, because there's so much runoff, and it's dirt to run off, but it's just, there's runoff. You don't wreck. You just spin, get refired and go. I'm not saying, cause before there was all that runoff, they would slam into tire barriers and go flipping and do all kinds of wild stuff. So, I mean, from a safety aspect, what they've done is good.
Yeah.
But it's the margin of error is much higher now. So unless you go off in the S's and hit that tire barrier, and then, you know, Hamlin was talking on his podcast this week, like coming out of turn 4, where used to be, you know, get people jump that curb and get out of control and get close to that wall. Like they, first of all, the curb is gone. They've sanded that down because they didn't like it with this new car. Mm-hmm. And then they put that big DoorDash logo on the ground there too. And Hamlin said all that pain is just grip. So as soon as you hit that logo, you just grip up. And so now you're intentionally running in the logo and you're not losing control there. So,
right.
I don't know. So one of the things I wanted to ask about, and Denny talked about it, is with this grip thing, they're all trying to cut turn 11 low so they can get in the grip there. And we have those tire stacks, which I think have gotten lighter over the years, and the cars have gotten stronger. And now they just bump these tire barriers out of the way until they can get way in the inside of the track. Should NASCAR do something there? Should they make there a bigger penalty? Should they impose track limits penalties? Should they put a freaking guardrail there to solve that issue? Like, what is there anything they can do there to make turn 11 a little bit more interesting?
Yeah, I know it's always been kind of one of the characteristics of that track that area is open and you can make moves there. Do they do like the old NASCAR video game style and just put a wall there? Right.
I think they don't want to do that because you can get turned and slide through there. And the way it is, you're not going to slam a wall then when you do it.
Right. Right. Well, and Tyler Reddick found a new way to use that area.
Right. Yeah.
When he decided to make a go for pit road and cut right across. So, the IndyCar has used the short corner.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
So maybe not to say that they should change. I love that hairpin. Like, that's one of the signature corners in NASCAR, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's a great turn. I just want them off of that paint.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know. Maybe do you put more barriers up there? I don't know. Like, I'm not sure what the answer is.
Why don't you put turtles? I mean, it's an SMI track. We've put turtles in. You can put temporary turtles in.
Yeah, you could turtle it.
You know, I mean, I guess then if you turn somebody and they hit the turtles, they're going to launch over the pit wall. So maybe that's a bad thing.
That's the thing, too, because you carry a ton of speed into that corner. So if something breaks. Yeah, if
a throttle sticks or something, that would be pretty bad.
Yeah, so I mean, it makes, yeah, that's a tough one.
I guess maybe there's not a solution there, but it sucks because that corner is so important. And basically, so now you've taken, there's only two passing zones in this track. There's whatever, I don't know, I think it's turn 7 is what they call it, after turn 4, because you take the shortcut.
Yeah, they go from 4A to 8.
So you lose 4, or you lose that spot, because 4 is all gripped up, and you can't screw up in that turn to set up a pass for the passing zone. And now turn 11 has the grip on the inside, and you can't, make a pass there either. Yep. You just killed the two passing zones, so maybe that's the issue.
Right, and you maybe got to... Well, and that goes back to the car, too, because you can't move anybody because you can't catch them. So it's,
I don't know.
There's that part of it, too.
I don't know. And then again, James, we don't have to fix everything. Maybe a Formula One style race that just runs green for a lot and the best car wins is the way to go.
Well, and, NASCAR had a nice, had a nice run with road courses for a while where it was racing like a NASCAR race. And now we're racing like a sports car series, which is, the way the car was designed. So,
right.
Can't complain too much and change too much when you've got what you got, Now you could, I keep tapping into the Garage 56 stuff a little bit,
right?
But you could, throw some more horsepower in these cars, and that always seems
to think 1,000 horsepower on this cup car would be fun.
That would be so freaking fun. At Sonoma. Are you kidding me? Oh my God. Oh my God.
It'd be good stuff.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Yeah, and again, we talked about stage cautions. I'm still standing by that. Honestly, James, I had a little bit of an epiphany this week that even the stages alone without the cautions still screw up the strategy on road courses.
Yeah.
Because if you're not in the top 10, if you're not there 11, for points, you can still jump and change. But it was better. It was better than – this is the first time we've really gotten experience with no stage cautions on a road course, because at COTA – We had cautions right around the stages anyway, so it didn't matter.
Right. Right.
So yeah, I think I'm still, even if it would have went green the whole way, I'm still happy with it. But this, I mean, it just was a boring race, and that sometimes happens,
Yep. Yep.
If it happens every week, it's a problem. But it can happen once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
race won't be boring, James?
What's
it
that?
Might be a complete cluster, but it will not be boring when we go to Chicago.
Well,
there will be chaos in that
thieves
race.
If thieves don't steal every piece of the racetrack first.
That place, because there is no runoff there.
That's right.
And yeah. and that's Denny made a comment on his podcast. He said, from what he hears, the walls are closer to the track than they are at Sonoma, which that would not bode well for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. There's going to be some wall contact at Chicago.
Yes, there will. Yeah.
There will be cautions there. We won't have to worry about lack of cautions.
That's right. Yeah. It's, yep.
You want a short track road course. I really think that one's going to be. I think when people are frustrated at the end of that, it's going to be because it was too crazy, too much wrecking versus not enough.
Well, and you know, we're never coming back after this one. So
yeah, we'll see when those pockets are full.
I'm going to make a proclamation that this will be a one and done.
Yeah,
that is I'm a firm believer.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out. I've been wrong before, so
I think we'll be back.
Well, okay.
I don't know that we'll be back with open arms, but I think we'll be back.
Yeah. People are gonna get voted out of office is what's gonna end up happening.
Well, it already happened. I mean,
it did. It
happened
yeah.
before the race.
Yeah, it did.
33rd victory in 637 Cup Series races for Martin Truex Jr.'s fourth victory, as he mentioned in the intro, at Sonoma Raceway.
Second all time.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. I think it's easy to forget that Truex is so good here, but he's really good here.
He is.
Ty Gibbs, highest finishing rookie in 18th. Kind of disappointed on the day. I was expecting Ty to do better, but still highest finishing rookie. Truex Jr. also is a points leader by 13 points over Willie B.
Yep. Quick shout out. One driver I did want to shout out.
Yeah.
Man, Michael McDowell's got something going on here.
I'm telling you, again. Man.
I was a coward and I took him out of my lineup after qualifying.
Yeah, he was on my bench.
And I said, you coward, especially when Reddick crashed. I was like, I was killing myself. I was kicking myself so bad because yep. I was going to go with McDowell. He had a great day. Ugh. Dang it.
Yeah. Yeah. They got stuff going. And like you said, it's not just road courses. They're clicking right now.
I know. It's hard because that team's got no driver sign for next year. And here you are with Michael McDowell again, starting to outperform the stuff he's in. I would not be shocked if he won one of these road courses.
No, I wouldn't be shocked if he, I guess he probably won't win one of the other ones, but Daytona, he could get Daytona.
Yeah. Like if he went to Watkins Glen and got a little bit, but I think it would have to get a little bit wacky, but if he's hovering around the top five, he could definitely steal one of these road course races.
Couple of the leaders battling through the inner loop and they take each other out. Yeah. Yep. He's got to win.
Eric, I was going to ask you one more question.
I think Indy might be a real good shot for him.
I think that's AJ's.
I also agree with that.
That's AJ's. I think the street race is AJ's too, if I'm being honest.
I don't know. I'm on the fence over the street race altogether.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. It's going to be different. Well, Joey Logano's going to win it. We already know that.
Right.
He wins all the new stuff.
What? I have one more thing to hit on too, so go ahead with yours and then.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you, will you remember this race for all times because William Byron limped at home in 14th and beat Brad Keselowski for the Denny Hamlin bracket challenge.
Oh yeah. It's definitely down in history as a result.
The first ever champion of the Denny Hamlin bracket challenge.
Yeah. No,
to William Byron.
I lost interest after the first week. So sorry.
That's just
Denny.
Like the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sorry. Except I actually like racing versus basketball.
Right.
Right. Yeah, sorry, Denny. I know Denny was proclaiming a victory on his podcast.
Oh yeah, he's selling it hard. But I did the vote that Dirty Mo put out. I won't tell anybody what I voted because that's not polite.
I wanted to revisit. So I think it was last week. I said that Justin Marks's statement about Ross Chastain was just you know, appeasing people and he didn't actually put the reins on.
Yeah.
I disagree.
And
whatever they did to Ross Chastain, they need to reverse it because they took a guy who was in the conversation every week and he is nowhere. He might as well not even be on the track.
I was prepared for this. He has led one lap since the proclamation came out. One lap on the season.
This is the Noah Gregson Dale Jr. thing from a couple years ago where Dale would not step in and put the reins on Noah Gregson. And look what happened. Gregson won a bunch of races. You cannot put the reins on these guys. And I didn't think they actually did it to Ross, but it's pretty obvious they did. and they need to take them off, man. They need to go and reverse, get the little memory thing from Men in Black or something and just erase it. And
yeah, snap him back into place.
Get Ross back where he was because, I mean, that team already is on a decline this year. And I mean, Ross is just going backwards.
I don't know if it's as simple as they told Ross to settle down and now he's not as good. But
I don't think Ross liked the negative attention.
Well, on that team, yeah, that team doesn't seem like the whole organization seems like it's taken a little bit of a turn here.
Yeah.
Like maybe they're becoming a pumpkin again.
Maybe. I know you were waiting for it to happen and I kept saying it wasn't going to, but
I don't know. It's tough. I you know, when Ross got into some stuff last week, I was kind of excited because I kind of missed it.
Yeah. So, oh, I miss it a ton.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice not to have to deal with it every single week, but yeah, they're just not running up front. I mean, now, that being said, he got a top 10. And
yeah, he did finish 10th.
I mean, he...
But nobody knows he's there.
Well, that's the thing. That's been the problem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond after a few tough weeks because that team hasn't really had a swoon since. So we're going to find out.
Yeah. Also wanted to hit on Legacy Motor Club. Obviously, we didn't talk about last week because it was announced after the podcast, but Noah Gregson was out this week with the concussion.
Yep.
Hopefully, he'll be back for Nashville. He's got an extra week to recuperate. But Eric Jones struggles. They got the penalty for, greenhouse issues on that car. James, this season can't end soon enough for this team, right? I mean,
it's getting, yeah,
you're a Chevrolet team that's moving to Toyota. You know, you're not getting nothing from Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
They just want it to be done.
Yeah. It's, and if you're Eric Jones too,
yeah,
I mean, another wasted year, especially when you thought you had some momentum.
Yep. Yeah, it looked so good at the end of last year.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, maybe sniffing around a Stuart Haas ride isn't the worst thing in the world either. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, because this isn't going to be next year they just come out swinging. Like Denny talked about in his podcast this week, that this is a rebuild that they're doing here. And it's going to take some time. And they're going to be...
You got to burn it all down.
They're going to be behind 2311. They're going to be behind Trackhouse. They're going to be behind these teams that are starting up because they're starting over. I mean, so I don't know. It's tough for him. I'd love to see Eric jump over to Stuart Haas. I mean, you know, we've had this discussion. Yep. Like to see him go somewhere else just to get another opportunity.
It's hard because there's opportunity with Toyota that might be long-term better than what Stuart Haas is offering. It's a challenge. Yeah. It's a challenging time for a few teams here. You know, as we head into this off-season break, and you know, I know like Kyle Busch was joking that he doesn't want to stop racing,
right? Chase Elliott said the same.
Yeah,
like, no kidding, because he hasn't raced a bunch this season.
But maybe, you know, if you're a team like Legacy or you're a team like Trackhouse, this is an opportunity to kind of right the ship a little bit too.
Yeah, so those guys aren't taking a vacation this next week.
No, they're going to be busting their butt to try to find some speed because they need to. Yep.
Yep, for sure. I think that covers this race. It's probably more than we probably need to spend some, on it.
Yeah, I think we're good.
I think we definitely talked about it longer than expected.
Yes, we did.
NASCAR Xfinity Series race the day before, first time ever at Sonoma Raceway, which is surprising to me. It's hard to believe that they've never raced there before. But Eric Almirola gets the win in this one, holds off Kyle Larson's charge at the end. Kyle screws up, cut a little too tight in turn 11, and cost him the win.
Yep, up and out of the way, and that was it. And boy, that was a weird car to see go to victory lane.
Wasn't it? Great for that team, though, man. Awesome for the Sieg team to be able to get the car in victory lane. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yep. And the Cup guys basically took it to everybody.
Yeah.
And then Parker Kligerman finished fifth. So I guess that was a good day for most of the Cup guys out there. But yeah, Kyle Larson, he's probably kicking himself a little bit, but
yeah.
I'm sure he's more worried about Sundays than he is on Saturdays.
Yep. Sammy Smith was the highest finishing rookie in ninth place. John Hunter Nemechek, 2 points later in the Xfinity Series, 4 points over Austin Hill. Anything else you want to talk about with this one before we move on to news?
No, I was happy to see Eric get a win.
Yeah.
could be his final season. So I'm sure the, you know, those moments mean a lot to him. And I think Clint Bowyer talked about it on the broadcast the next day. His whole family was there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. He was feeling pretty good on social media about it. So
yeah. Yeah. I sent that to you. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. If you guys missed it, go check out his replies, after the race. Pretty entertaining.
Yeah. The people were feeling pretty good about themselves about making that 20th place joke all the time. And, right. He handed them an L. So.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if you want to call it that, I don't know. The reverse troll is a little rough. I don't know that that's necessarily a win, James. But
one of my favorite things is when people are really happy about something and they go a little above and beyond.
Right.
And then somebody else comes and ruins their fun. So, you know, that was a two-way street there, because all those people were having a whole heck of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then he ends up...
Can you imagine you made a comment a couple months ago, and all of a sudden here's Eric Almirola in your replies?
He saved it. I know. It's really good.
Do you think he's got all those negative comments favorited just so he can go back to them?
I'm sure he's got them bookmarked and ready. I think he proved that to be a fact. Spoiling people's fun is one of my favorite pastimes. I do it every week on this podcast. So.
Yeah, it is a good time.
It is. It really is.
Well, James, as you alluded to earlier, the Hendrick Motorsports crew was out in France for the Garage 56 entry out at Le Mans. Le Mans, I don't know how to pronounce it.
Le Mans.
I'm not French, so yeah, they did pretty well out there. They ran most of the race. They had a transmission issue.
They were a social media darling.
Yeah, they were very popular out there. Very popular.
I tell you what.
You think Ben Kennedy's licking his chops right now? You know he wants to race in Europe.
Yeah, he's been poking around. That car is such a beast.
Well, not only that, but that picture they have of it amongst all the other cars and how big it is.
So good.
So cool. It's so so US. I mean, the only thing better is if they put a big freaking American flag on the top of the thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, this is America, F yeah, right?
I hope that General Motors saw that and said, you know, maybe we should keep the Camaro in production just a little bit longer.
Yeah, man.
Why are we getting rid of it?
I'm not a Camaro fan, but that Camaro is a good looking car.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of the old Camaros. I like some of the other muscle cars a lot more, but that Camaro currently is a pretty good looking car.
And I'm shocked that that car ran as well as it did. And yeah. Hendrick Motorsports had no benefits
right.
from watching that.
Well, I mean, they did have benefits. They obviously learned about louvers earlier in the season.
Yeah, they did. They did learn about that. Yeah. Man, that car. So one of my favorite videos was Alanis King posted from the front straightaway. All the sports cars zipping by, and, you know, they're cute.
Yep.
Make their little noise. And then that thing goes rumbling down at 1,000 horsepower.
Yep.
It's so good.
Reminds me of the old days of Supercross, back when Doug Henry rode the first four-stroke when they were all two-strokes. And you go to the arena and you just knew where that bike was on the track every moment because you could hear it over all those other high-pitched ones.
Yeah, I mean, those people have never seen a car like that before, ever. I mean, they're used to their Formula One and their, you know, their sports car racing. They don't have cars like that.
And this could have gone very opposite. We could have been very unwelcome there, but they welcomed us.
Embarrassed ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were very happy to have us there. The fans were loving it. It was pretty darn cool.
That whole operation deserves a big pat on the back
for
showing up, finishing that race, being fast, passing cars. I mean,
James, I dismissed it like it was not a big deal, but it really was. And I really think when we have a cup race in Europe in the next 5 years, we're going to look back at this moment and go, yep, this is what did it.
Yep.
And this is what solidified it.
I tell you what, Eric, I tell you what, you've been worried about Jimmie Johnson's legacy.
Yeah, that's true.
He added a win to the column, I think.
Yeah.
This was a good one.
That's true.
This was a good one to be a part of.
Last one was Chevrolet.
And now Chevrolet can kick him out.
Right.
It's so weird that he's doing that after racing that car.
I know, it is really funny. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What if, and this was floated on the teardown this week.
Oh boy.
I think it was floated on the teardown. What if we ran a NASCAR or a stock car class in the 24 hours Daytona?
That's fine. I don't know. It doesn't interest me as much as this.
I think it'd
be
pretty neat.
Like one team gets an entry.
Yeah.
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 I mean, it's an idea.
I mean, I guess it doesn't. I don't even think it needs to be one team gets an entry. Just anybody who wants to enter. If Hendrick wants to enter two cars and they've got enough drivers to cover it, go for it. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think it'd be pretty neat. I think it would add interest. First of all, there's already interest in the 24 hours from NASCAR fans enough, you know,
yes,
to where there's enough yep. crossover there that it would definitely boost that event. I think it would yeah. boost NASCAR. It would increase the momentum for NASCAR going into the start of the season. I think it'd be pretty cool. And it's a chance to once again get the cup cars on that road course, which I think is a decent road course, but I don't think deserves a spot on the schedule, you know?
Right. And I think, I like this idea. I don't know if it's a points paying, you know, I don't
no,
know.
No, I wouldn't possibly think you'd do it as a points paying thing. I think yeah. this would be, it would be a
just
class
like an exhibition.
Yeah. And I think it would be an optional thing and maybe not enough teams would be interested in it.
Well,
to do
make
it.
Make it worth their while. Give them yeah. make it worth owner. Maybe that's the idea. Make it worth owner's points.
Yeah, something
for the owner's season championship or something.
Yeah,
that'd be a way to differentiate the owner's points in the driver standings as well. So
I think
there's things
cool
you could do there.
I mean, I know for one, I know there's been people that have talked. I mean, we sit here and talk about shortening NASCAR races, but mm-hmm. I mean, we run a 600 miler. Why not run a 24 hour race? That'd be pretty cool. Or a 12 hour race, just one. We don't need to do it every week, but one time would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know that Jim France is a big fan of sports cars.
Yes.
You know, so yeah. there's crossover room there.
And I think, too, you know, NASCAR for years now has been pushing lower horsepower. But, man, there's something to be said for something that rumbles like that thing. I mean, that.
Right.
That's been one of my bugaboos about the new car for such a long time. As we've been taking horsepower away, it's just like, man, it's just something to be said. And those people seeing it for the first time and being wowed by it. I mean, that's our experience back in the day.
Yeah.
You'd go to a NASCAR race and you had 43 of those things out there doing yep. that, you know, pushing that kind of horsepower around. It's just, it's an incredible sight to see. And it's got to be even more overwhelming compared to what else is out there.
Right.
You know, when you've got one growling monster versus, you know, 43 of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I found that to be kind of a eye-opening, you know, a thing too. So.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool. I think it was a win all the way around. Hopefully we learn stuff from it that will benefit NASCAR in the long run. From the sound of things it already did, I think, with some of the design this year, some of the adjustments they made this year. Yep. Hopefully we'll learn more from that and be kind of interesting to see what comes from the future of it. Like I said, I would not be surprised to see us overseas in the next couple of years. It's not going to happen next year, but I think it's a 5-year, definitely a 10-year plan, but probably a 5-year plan. And I think it's doable. I think they can
do
it. Yeah,
some of these, there's good tracks over there. I mean, yeah. from watching a little bit of F1 and, you know, playing the game and things like that and kind of having a little bit of interest in it lately. You know, like Silverstone would be kind of a cool place. I mean, there's some cool tracks out there that you yeah. could, the Red Bull Ring, you know, there's a place.
Just FYI, the Red Bull Ring is my absolute favorite track.
Yeah. I mean, there's a really cool opportunity there. So it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd like
cool.
to see it. Yep.
I just added the notes. I wanted to talk real quick. I think we already mentioned the Chase Briscoe penalty before. For the counterfeit part, but what we didn't discuss is NASCAR put it on display this week, and not only
yes,
did
they
put it on display, yeah. they did a demonstration of here's what's wrong with it.
I loved it.
you could very plainly see that as a 3D printed part, it was different. And my favorite part about it, James, is that NASCAR didn't reveal what they are, but has defects built into the part, so they know it's their part just by looking at it.
Yeah,
how awesome is that?
Yeah, the whole show and tell thing really
is so good.
One of the great things that they've ever brought back.
Yeah.
And
not even brought back because they never used to do that.
They never used to do the show
and tell. But we didn't get the show and tell.
Yeah, now they're look at me Louie-ing all over the place, and they've got their crash test stuff that they were testing and showing us. So I'm really interested in these things when they do them.
Me too.
I mean, it shows you a whole different side of the sport. And yeah, hopefully. Like every time a team decides they want to cheat, you know, hopefully they get hammered like that. That's yeah. one good way to embarrass the crap out of them.
Do you think it's stopping the cheating?
Oh, no, everybody's cheating.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, there's 36 cars.
Yeah.
And two are going back to the R&D center at most.
Right.
So, like, you got a pretty good shot of not going back to the R&D center.
Yes.
You're probably going to go back once during the season, but that's it.
Do I think that every car for are all the Stewart Haas cars
Chase
using that?
If Chase Briscoe's team is cheating and Eric Jones's team is cheating, then you got to bet that Kyle Busch's team is cheating and William Byron's team is cheating and Chase Elliott's team is cheating, well, right?
Let me play devil's advocate with you on that. They're so bad compared to everybody else. They have to do something, right?
Yeah, they're all cheating.
Okay.
And I know NASCAR wants it to stop, and I agree. I don't think it ever will.
I mean, it's just the nature of the beast.
But I think the penalties are good. I think it's...
That was a good one.
I mean, it sucks for the fans because it's irritating, but hey, man, you're there. And they talked about this, the Chase Briscoe part, and said that it's the biggest penalty in NASCAR, but it is on the low end of what they can do.
Yeah, they can go bigger. Yeah.
So,
well, Chase Briscoe said, you know, they could have eliminated me from the playoffs completely. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks. Like, the Denny Hamlin thing last year really left a sour taste in my mouth. That's the one penalty that really, when they took that win away, that sucked. That really did suck.
Yeah, you didn't have him picked that week.
Well, yeah. Well, it just sucked for what the sport is. But when it's teams that are running in the back and stuff like that, it doesn't really bother me as much.
My biggest concern with it is just that, we got a guy that ran terrible that has this counterfeit part and gets slammed. You know the cars that ran in front of him are cheating too, but they didn't get taken.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do? You can't take every car. You can't do them all at the track. There's just too much to it. Right. So, I don't know. I think it's good. You know, I think there's one of two ways NASCAR can go. They can go with run what you brung, or they can go with, you know, we're going to crack down on everything. And this is the direction they've chosen to go.
Yep.
And good. Be consistent. That's all I ask for.
Yep. I'd love to see NASCAR even take one of the big four, the big four car teams every week. Just pick one of those and see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could find something. They didn't take anybody from Sonoma, from my understanding.
Nope, they did not take anybody from Sonoma.
I guess they wanted a break, too.
I guess so. Yeah, they were heading on vacation this week.
Yeah, that's right.
We also got to see some of the changes that they've made to the cars for Atlanta upcoming. Changes to the front end structure. I believe they're not just for Atlanta. I think they're across the board for all the tracks. But being implemented for Atlanta, they've added a panel to the right side door. To hopefully keep the roll cage from caving in the way it did on Larson's car.
Yeah, they called it, what did they call it? Intrusion?
Yeah.
Having a car intrude the cockpit, right? Yep.
I thought the best thing about this is just the transparency around it. I mean, there was...
Yeah, and they
there
showed the video.
Really good video showing exactly where they've cut. They've showed the crash tests. I think NASCAR's doing the right stuff right now when it comes to safety, especially after last year where they were so silent about what they were doing. It's nice to see them telling us what they're...
Well, and I think they had no choice because...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got to say, hey, we're doing everything we can, you know?
And I think those crush zones in the front are going to be a huge benefit across the board. I think it's going to go a long ways toward making this car less indestructible, too, which I think is better in the long run.
We talked last week about Noah Gregson's crash. Yeah. And, you know, this week we learned after the podcast that he was out with a concussion.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I saw about that as well is, you know, we are in a different era of concussions. And maybe, you know, in the past, there was a ton of concussions as well. Drivers just didn't report them.
Right.
Which I think we know is probably true. But hopefully, though, as the car continues to get safer, hopefully we see less and less guys getting knocked out of races. And, you know, looks like Noah's doing pretty well. I see he's at the Stanley Cup final tonight. Nice. So hopefully Noah will be back soon. But yeah, these crashes are violent, man. That was a terribly violent crash last week.
Yeah, it was.
So I just wanted to second what you're saying is great because I love seeing the behind the scenes stuff and showing us what they're doing. It's definitely the better way to go. But it's better to overshare sometimes than it is to hide.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eric Estep must be listening to us, James, because he just shared his video 8 seconds ago. And it's about Garage 56 and NASCAR's plans to go international. So
there you go. Yeah. Yep.
I mean, of course, there's no way he could have listened to us, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's wiretaps and things.
Right. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I'm sure we would be the targets of that.
Yeah. NASCAR's sure. always listening.
Let's talk schedule. James, last week we talked silly season. Let's talk about schedule for 2024. Jordan Bianchi had a story up on The Athletic. They talked about it in on the Teardown podcast this week as well. First of all, let's start with Bristol Dirt, because that was something that Jordan was pretty adamant about, that he is hearing that Bristol Dirt is not happening. And more so, he's hearing that Bristol will not be the Easter race. Sounds like there still will be an Easter race, but it won't be Bristol.
Hallelujah.
Right? So there's a lot of places.
What's it saying? Bing bong, the witch is dead?
Right.
Or whatever. Yeah.
There's a lot of ways that this could go, but the rumor is that North Wilkesboro would replace Bristol Dirt Race and be a points race next year. So my Good. Question is would we go back to the old Bristol, or would we only go to one race at Bristol?
I don't want to lose a second Bristol race again.
I don't either. But I also don't believe that you can have two races on the schedule on the same track.
Well, the problem
I know we do, though, but
the problem also is Nashville Fairgrounds is coming.
Yeah,
like it's
that's
coming
true.
In the next couple of years. So
that's true. So is in theory another California track. So
right. So where are these races coming from?
Right.
That's the hard part.
Well, and there's also the SMI/NASCAR battle that, you know, SMI is not giving up a date. NASCAR is not giving up a date. So that's going to play into it as well.
That's right. That's right.
Which also 100%. Plays into, it was announced last week that Phoenix will be the championship race again. And that was discussed on the Teardown as well. And some really good points were made that if you're going to move that race around, it's a NASCAR race. It's not an SMI race. NASCAR yep. is not going to end the season on an SMI track. They're just not. That's their date.
Yep.
And if you look at tracks that are in an area that you can race in mid-November to run that race on that are NASCAR tracks, your list is pretty short.
Yes.
You know, all the North Carolina tracks, those are all SMI tracks. So
yep.
you got Homestead, which we've done. We've got Phoenix, which has just opened its arms to NASCAR. The race might suck, but they have opened their arms to NASCAR.
Yep. They love it. They love having a main stream event.
And then we've got, I guess, the new California when that's done. I mean, other than that, what do you got? You don't really have anything else.
Yeah,
I mean, we do race Martinsville a week before, but every week you go back with Martinsville is a week colder, you know.
Well, like you said too, NASCAR is not giving up that date, so you can't go to nobody wants to go to Texas,
right? No, please God, no.
Nobody wants to end the season at Talladega.
Vegas would be a good season finale, but again, it's an SMI
possibly.
Track.
Kansas,
yeah, maybe. Kansas is pushing it though.
It's pushing it exactly. Like there's not
too far north.
Exactly. That's the hard part.
You know,
you're boxed in a little bit. So
I'm sorry to say, I think Phoenix is probably our future because they actually have embraced the Cup Series in that town for that championship weekend. And I'm sorry, Miami didn't, you know, not to the level that Phoenix has. So
I wish we could go back there for that.
I know. At least it's in the playoffs. At least it's in the playoffs.
Yep. So, it's found a home. That's good.
Also, rumors that we are heading across the border again next year, James, and that Montreal could earn another Cup Series date.
Yes.
Or earn a Cup Series date for the first time. We've never run there in the Cup Series.
Yeah. Earn a National Series date, possibly.
I am so excited about that because...
Oh, me too. I love that track.
That is such a good track.
It's my... So you mentioned Red Bull Ring.
Yeah,
Montreal's my,
I take that
my
back.
Favorite.
This is my favorite, too, and Red Bull Ring is a very, very close second.
And I loved when the Xfinity Series raced there. There was some good racing going on.
Great stuff. I mean...
Robbie Gordon pretending he won.
Yeah, there was the shoe that cost Danica Patrick her only NASCAR win.
Danica's shoe. Who throws a shoe?
No, who thinks that it... Who would imagine that a shoe would take you out of the race?
Well, it's Danica.
I mean, Siegel took Dale Earnhardt out of the race in the 500 once, but...
Lots of things have happened over the years, but the shoe is an interesting one.
Down in history. Yeah. Down in NASCAR history. Yeah.
Man, Cup...
Montreal's
Cup
a great
be,
track.
Cup would be interesting there. Now, we've got... You know, obviously, we've got issues with road course racing right now.
Think that track would be good.
That track's pretty fast.
It's a good track, even for, like, a sports car race. It'd be really good. So, I think you could... overcome the deficiencies of the Cup car on that track.
Could it replace maybe a straight course race on our schedule?
I don't think so. See, that's no. You know what it's going to replace, James? It's going to replace a road course race on another former Formula One track. In Indianapolis, because we're going to be racing on the oval there next year. Everybody's pretty certain we're racing on the oval.
Didn't Big Raj say that they might alternate between oval and road course there?
Yeah, that might have been discussed. But the first time they put these cars, this next gen car, on the big track and they actually race good,
I don't know why.
We'll never go back to the road course when they race.
I don't know why they're not doing it already.
I know.
Just do it.
Yep.
Just
do it. I think a lot of it has to do with that IndyCar weekend, James. I think the fact that they run with IndyCar is a big deal. And I think they've done it before, but it's a lot tougher to do, to switch between the road course and the 2.5 miler.
The Brickyard 400 should be the week before the Indianapolis 500. And it should be a grand old time.
Yeah. I don't know about that, but,
or the week after, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it needs to be its own thing, but they do need a snake pit, and then they can fill that place up.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. People like to party down there. They don't go to watch the race.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. NASCAR can learn a lot from the Indy 500. That's for sure. But it's Penske's track. So hopefully he can make that happen.
Yep.
So, yeah. So a lot of shakeups coming. That'll be exciting to see. Obviously we got California right now. That's an empty date. So maybe maybe North Wilkesboro gets the Bristol Dirt weekend, and Bristol not dirt becomes the All-Star race again. I'd be all right with that.
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fine.
So that's an option.
Yep.
Or the All-Star race goes back to Charlotte. Yep. Which I'd be all right with that right now too.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe they could run the midget track.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah.
I would love to see a race on that quarter mile in the front stretch.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Let's run the Clash there.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. February in Charlotte, probably not the greatest.
Well, Brexton Bush is running it right now. Maybe he'd get an entry.
There you go.
Yeah.
We could see football at Daytona.
Yeah, I had to put this in the notes. I don't know how much time you want to spend on it.
It's interesting.
Well, the Jacksonville Jaguars are building a new stadium.
Yep.
So they called Daytona and said, hey.
Well, they're not building a new stadium, though, right? They're upgrading their current stadium.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Which I believe they're going to be the first state, because they don't have a roof right now, right?
They do not.
They will be the first outdoor stadium that built a roof over it successfully.
Yeah.
Because it's been proposed, but it's never happened before.
Yep. Well, you can't put a roof over Daytona.
No.
But it's a cool idea, man. It's a cool idea.
It would be really, really neat to see.
We've done football at NASCAR locations before.
Yeah.
I
think it's unlikely that this is the direction they go, but it would be really neat to see.
I think it'd be fun once. I don't know every week. I mean, every week it's going to lose its appeal.
Right.
But you can see a lot of people on that front stretch.
Yeah.
And pit road, I guess.
And what they can do with temporary seating and stuff now, too. I mean.
And temporary lighting.
Yeah, you can make it work.
If they needed it.
Oh, yeah. Moscow can bring in couple light towers and they're good to go. They do it for Supercross. They light that tri-oval for Supercross, no problem. So
I remember when Tennessee had that college football game at Bristol. That was a cool sight to see. So let's try it. I hate that it's the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I'd love to see the Lions play down there. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be a neat deal. And hey, again, it's exposing our sport to another fan base, you know?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
So, I mean, heck, do it during a race.
Sure, absolutely. Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be safe.
Yeah. You can get your fantasy football in and fantasy racing all at the same time.
Yeah, perfect.
Your DraftKings or whatever the heck you're into.
Yep. Well, there you go. Any news we missed, James?
I think that was it. I was scouring for anything else, but yeah, we got it.
Well, we head to Nashville in 2 weeks. We're going to take a break, though, along with NASCAR this week and get our off week in. So we will not have a podcast next week. We'll be back to break down Nashville afterwards. We said goodbye to Fox for their half of the season. They'll still remain broadcasting the Truck Series from the Charlotte studio all year. But they are done at the track. NBC will take the reins with our buddy Dale Jr., And the rest of the crew, Rick Allen and the crew, when we return to Nashville. I'm excited about them coming back.
Jeff Burton and all the guys, Letarte.
Yeah, the next time we see Fox, Kevin Harvick will be in the booth for the Cup Series, which will be yep. weird.
And hopefully, hopefully the fans don't fire Mike Joy yet.
Right. Yeah.
Can we give Mike Joy a little bit of a break? That he got one driver wrong in a comment, in a passing comment.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, I don't know. Has he tweeted about it yet? I'm sure.
Yes, he did. He says he's coming back. Yeah.
Well, I just don't know if he's tweeting at the fans because he likes to tweet angrily tweet sometimes.
I don't blame him now.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
dig your heels in, man.
Mike's not as sharp as he used to be, but he's got so much knowledge, and he's such a legend that, you know, I guess I've advocated a couple times for replacements for him, but he's earned a right to decide when he's leaving, not the fans. So.
Yeah, especially the Goober
fans. At this point, he's still plenty good enough. I mean, I've Rick Allen has grown on me, James, but Mike Joy is still better than Rick Allen. So
yeah, the torch will be passed when it's time to be passed. Yeah. Mike Joy's not ready to hang it up yet.
I mean, hopefully, maybe we can get Alan Bestwick on the summer stretch of Amazon races or something, so we can get him back.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
because I'd really like to see him in the booth. That's my only problem with who we've got in the booth now. I like who we have. But I just feel like we're missing so much by not having Alan Bestwick.
Is AB calling the SRX series this year?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, good.
Yep, he's
okay.
Back on SRX. So.
Back with ESPN. That's interesting.
Yep. Ooh. Yeah, they have the same broadcast team this year for SRX as what they had previously. So
good.
Yeah, I saw that announcement a while back. So I don't know how I know SRX news and you don't. That's kind
of I had forgotten.
Kind of so, unusual, man.
It happens. It happens slipping. To me every once in a while.
You're pushing for us to be the official podcast of the SRX. You must really be pissed about those.
Well, I'm mad about that. Yeah. Well, and that, and I'm ready for this week off. So yeah. I'm completely zoned out.
I know my kids are doing two different summer hockey leagues and MMA right now. So,
my God,
they're busy four nights a week this summer. And so, yeah, excellent. I'm good with having a week off.
Yeah, my kids are getting busy as well. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Yep.
Thought summer was going to slow down, but it's worse.
No, it doesn't. No, it is worse.
So we get to make our picks for Nashville though this week, cause we won't be back next week. Just looking at last week, James was able to, once again, pull a bigger lead on me, with his Chase Elliott pick over my Daniel Suarez pick, yes. And leads by 178 points. James, you've probably already written down cause you know what's coming. I am picking William Byron as my pick this weekend or next weekend at Nashville.
Yes. Yeah. We got to remember we got a whole week off here.
Oh my God. Saved him for this race.
Oh yeah, you jerk! Because I would have taken him. well, that leaves me with a couple of options, and I get to keep William Byron for later. So
yes, I'm curious where you're going. You got some good picks left.
I do have some guys. I do have some guys.
How you've managed that?
Well, I'm gonna go. Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go with Blaney here.
Okay,
give me Blaney.
It's a good pick.
YRB.
Good pick.
I got a couple of horses in the barn yet, but I'll use my Blaney here. I'm trying to look ahead at the schedule a little bit, and I might kick myself for not using them at Atlanta or Daytona, but that's okay. I think I'll get a decent day. I gotta combat your William Byron pick. I'm kind of playing defense here a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you need a lot of defense with a 178-point lead.
Byron's going to score 50 or 55, so I gotta maybe try to salvage.
Right.
Because I think Byron's going to go in there and kick everybody's butt.
Yeah, I think he'll be up front. He should be top five, I would think.
Yeah. He's not going away. No. I know he didn't have the greatest day in Sonoma, but he's not fading like last year. He's going to be around, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk fantasy, James. I don't really want to talk fantasy because I picked all of the road course guys that I expected to do well, and they all did terribly, and I did horribly.
I don't want to talk about it either because I lost Reddick at the end, and I was pretty upset about it.
Well, in that case, let's let somebody else talk about it. We got our first voice message, James. Here's
I heard this was coming.
Yeah, here we go. Here's Green Eggs and Hamlin gave us a call. Here we go.
Hey, Jim and Eric. This is Green Eggs and Hamlin checking in. Just putting out my victory lap for you guys. I was feeling pretty good about those road racers, and sure enough, Truex got W in dominant fashion. Chase Elliott let me down. I ended up picking him in my other league, and basically relied on Jim's pick earlier, and that really set me over the edge of, all right, Elliott's going to do it. And, well, you know, fifth place, I guess I can't complain, but really needed that W this week. So AJ did great. McDowell did great. I was able to put Reddick on the bench before he had his mess of a day. And, yeah, and up out front. So, Benner and Speedway, where you at, man? We need you. We're all rooting for you to get the number one. So, anyways, yeah, keep up the good work, and you know, I'll keep listening. Thanks again.
There you go.
He sounded so sad.
Right?
Yeah. I knew this was coming. I was hoping that he'd go easy on me. So that's good. How surprised were you that you finally got one of those?
I was at a hockey game, one of the boys' hockey games, and it popped up a notification on my phone. I didn't even know what happened when we got one, because we've never gotten one before. So
yeah, he I'm said glad he's going to do it.
Glad I get a notification for it. So
yeah, he texted me. He said it's coming. I'm like, okay,
good send deal. It. Hopefully more people do it.
He kicked everybody's butt this week.
Yeah.
Nobody else was in the 200 club, and he had 240. Team Justin was second. I was third, even with Reddick doing me wrong towards the end. And keeping an eye on our leader, Baron Speedway, he was fifth overall. I got to check this. Overall is getting interesting, other than Baron. He's still way ahead.
Right.
Tandem Draft Tona second. Mickey Elliott third. I'm bumped up to fourth. And Ranger is fifth. So there you go.
There you go. If you want to leave us an audio message, you can do so by going to anchor.fm/thesuperspeedway. We would appreciate it. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, if you win the fantasy league. Yeah, if you win the fantasy league, that's a great time to come in and drop a bomb.
Hell yeah. Talk some smack. Yeah. James, you got any shout outs this week?
We kind of did it. I was going to shout out Fox getting through another year, and they didn't do so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, they take a lot of lumps, but
I think they get more criticism than what they deserve.
For the most part, they're doing okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was, I was just upset about the people coming after Mike Joy's job.
Yeah.
So that made me get defensive.
Right.
But yeah, shout out to Fox, shout out to NBC taking over. I really like NBC's coverage. It's a different flavor of NASCAR, and it's definitely more professionals, hard to say.
I almost wish we could have them both every week and we could just choose which one we felt like that week.
I love the guys on NBC they bring in. Like, we lose Bob, but Bob's going to be at the race anyway.
Right.
But we get Nate Ryan back more often. We get, you know, Dustin Long. They got a really solid crew of guys.
I just like Junior in the booth, man.
And Junior in the booth, yep. Junior's going to get busy now.
Yeah.
Playtime's over.
Yep. Yeah, that's my favorite part. Is it just because it feels like I'm in the booth, you know? That's why I like it. So
yep, start screaming and yelling. Good times.
I already did my shout outs, Berlin and Owasso Speedway, and the races I went to this past week. So, shout out to them. Black Flags, I got nothing this week, James. I really got nothing to complain about. You got anything?
Yeah, Black Flag to Legacy Motor Club.
Yeah,
get it together, guys.
Yeah,
yeah. Derek Jones getting a penalty, and I don't know. I was hoping for more, especially when Noah came in. Hopefully this is a kick in the butt. Maybe they can get step it up. I just want Legacy Motor Club to do better.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I want to
use this off week, guys. Yeah, use this off week, man. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, I like everybody involved there. I like Jimmy Johnson. I love Noah Gregson. I love Eric Jones. You know?
The Gallaghers have done a great thing and being invested in the sport for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll turn it around. It's just a matter of how quick it's going to happen. But they'll get there. Like I said, they're in this whole lame duck situation right now with leaving Chevrolet, and it's going to show the rest of the season. It just is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So anyway, James, where can people hit you up during the off week if they want to hit you on social media?
At James Cush on Twitter.
You can get me at TSuperSpeedway on Twitter. You can find the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/TheSuperSpeedway. Our website is TheSuperSpeedway.com. And you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Anchor. Subscribe wherever you listen for new episodes each week. And as previously mentioned, if you go to anchor.fm/TheSuperSpeedway, you can leave us an audio message and we might just play it on the show. It's an off week. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in 2 weeks to break down Nashville Super Speedway and the NBC start of the NBC portion of the schedule. And we'll be previewing the Chicago Street Course, James.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. Yep. You know, it might not be the best part of the season, but it's going to be the most interesting part of the season. And then right after that, I'm going to Atlanta. So, good times. We'll be back in 2 weeks to break it all down and get back with you. Until then, everybody, let's go racing.